The number of people claiming DLA in Northern Ireland has jumped by 20% in the last 5 years. Figures from the Department of Community show claimants are up 37,000 to 215,000 since 2011. The move from Disability Living Allowance to Personal Independence Payments, or PIP, has already started for new claimants, and from this month it'll begin to change for people already claiming DLA. The change to PIP was meant to reform the system. But here's the question. What's behind such a significant rise in those claiming benefits? Ben Laurie from the newsletter with us today. NIPSA's Patrick Mulholland. Ben, good morning.
Good morning.
Morning, good morning. Patrick, good morning to you.
Good morning, Stephen.
Good morning. What's going on here, Patrick?
Well, I must say, Stephen, I do think these figures are quite shocking, and I would imagine the public would be, be a bit nonplussed to be seeing such a jump in the figures. I think if we are going to have a serious discussion about it, what we have to start by saying is there's no point in having an infantile discussion about false claims, because the DLA system is extremely rigorous. The people who apply the system are very, very professional in their approach. And really, there are not people slipping through the net and falsely getting DLA. I think what we do need to do is to look at the underlying factors here and begin to take some real, real account of what it is in Northern Ireland society that has created almost unique circumstances, that has, created this this sort of a situation.
Up another 25%, Ben Laurie, from 2011. What do you think's going on?
Well, I think that the figures are ridiculous. I think the figures for DLA in Northern Ireland have been ridiculous for years, and they just keep going up and up and up. We're now talking about just under 12% of the entire population in Northern Ireland is on disability living allowance. Now, that's not 12% of the adult population, and I would imagine it's mostly adults. It's 12% of the entire population. I mean, what do these figures have to rise to for people to start to think that there's a bit of a problem here?
But what is the problem?
I've always said that I don't think that fraud is the problem. I think the problem is that the system needs to be much tighter. I mean, Patrick says that the tests are rigorous. Well, fine, then they need to be more rigorous still.
No, well, that doesn't make any sense, Ben. You either say people have an entitlement to disability living allowance or they don't. If you say they need to be more rigorous still, do you mean that there are some people with disabilities who should not get this?
What I mean is that there are some people who are getting disability living allowance who shouldn't be getting it.
Why?
You don't need to look any further than the figures to see this. How could anyone seriously suggest that one person in eight in Northern Ireland is so significantly disabled that they should be on disability living allowance?
Stephen, can I come in here, Stephen? This is just tripe. We live in a post-conflict society, and, listening to the Nolan Show every day, it's very obvious that post-conflict is not so much post-conflict sometimes. Sometimes it's still live. That's one of the factors that creates this situation. We also have a situation where we have very significant levels of social and economic deprivation that are affecting health outcomes, and we also have a massive problem of underemployment, and all of these things feed in to the reliance on disability allowance, and we need to factor all that in and stop the infantile debate about people frauding the system.
Well, as I said, I don't think that people frauding, although there's an element of that, I don't think that that's the big factor. But let's just grind into the numbers a little bit. You don't need to go
Let's let him finish. No, let's let him finish, Patrick.
You don't need to go very far into the figures, and you don't need to in Great Britain, in England, Scotland and Wales, about 5% of the population is on DLA. Let's say in Northern Ireland that would be 90 or 100,000 people. In England, Scotland and Wales, there's cross-party agreement, including from the Labour Party, the principal party behind the welfare state that we all support, that is essential to a civilised society. There's cross-party agreement that figure is too high in England, Scotland and Wales. It's one of the reasons that PIP has come in. So let's say that Northern Ireland, what they would want would be, let's say, 3 or 4%, 60,000 in Northern Ireland, 80,000. And let's say that Northern Ireland, because of the troubles, because of the deprivation, because of all of the things that you say, should get far more than what they're aiming for in England, Scotland and Wales. Let's say 100, 120,000, or twice that. We are 214,000 people. And this is money percent and other things. I mean,
okay, let's deal with figures. Let's deal with figures, Ben, but let's deal properly with figures and statistics. You have to compare apples with apples, oranges with oranges. What you're talking about is you're making a general comparison with Northern Ireland, which is a small geographical area with a population of 1.5 million or thereabouts, to the whole of Britain. Are you comparing it to Somerset or are you comparing it to inner city Glasgow? Which is it?
Well, here are some of the tweets that the respected economist Richard Ramsay has sent out over recent times. I'll just pick a couple of these stats, for example, and ask you at home what you think of this. 0-30-30-80-55-55. For example, and this is the last 5 years Richard's talking about, close to 25% of new cars sold in Northern Ireland are through mobility. The GB figure is around half of what Northern Ireland is. So why would Northern Ireland have double the amount of new cars sold through mobility than the rest of GB? Why on earth would that be the case, Patrick Mulholland,
because we have a much higher level of disability living allowance, Stephen, and it therefore follows. Let me give some examples here. I remember a programme, I think it was on your programme recently, Stephen, where they did an interview with a policeman who was clearly suffering from post-traumatic stress and couldn't access health care properly because it just wasn't available. And the police service said they were going to do something about that. Our country is full of people who are victims of the conflict that happened in this country and are still suffering the consequences of it. They are out there. So to compare their figures to what is happening in Somerset is not a fair comparison. Equally, we have very deep levels of social deprivation and poverty that have existed for years and years and got much worse in the recession. And can I make a last point, Stephen?
Quickly.
One of the problems we have is our healthcare, our health service has been undermined for the last 5 or 6 years, and some of these things are inevitable outcomes of those things happening in society.
Right. Who do we have? Loads of callers here this morning. Peter. Morning, Peter.
I'd just like to ask Ben, or does he think you just fill a form and that's it? You maybe have 3 or 4 doctors to go through, all kinds of medical experience. Does he want you to be on death's door before you get awarded?
Of course I don't, no.
Well, you explain. Can you tell me have you looked into how you apply for it, how many forms has to be filled in?
I've never applied for it, and I understand that it's pretty rigorous. My point is a really simple one. The number of people getting this is ridiculous. It cannot be explained by the troubles. This isn't a criticism of people who are getting it.
I don't know, Ben. I don't know. I mean, you say the process is rigorous. Maybe we should maybe the process, Ben, should be changed and we should set up a steering group to decide who gets disability payments and just decide it.
All we need to do is get these figures down. I don't believe for a second that this is explicable through the Troubles. The Troubles was an appalling thing. There were almost 4,000 people killed. There were many thousands of people injured. But it can't possibly explain why we are, as I was saying there, probably per capita, Patrick, by the way, I'm talking about equivalent, proportionate to our population, 100,000 to 150,000 more than Great Britain is or Great Britain.
Peter, can I ask you a question,
let's let Peter. Let's let Peter reply for 1 second. Go on, Peter.
Well, I'm listening to Ben there. So what Ben's saying, the people lost maybe legs and limbs in the trouble, it wasn't really the trouble's fault that they were on the DLA. Is that what he's trying to say?
Of course people who are seriously disabled should be on DLA. Yeah. But that's part of the problem with it.
What about the people that have real serious mental self-harm?
Yeah, Richard Ramsay has said in his tweets for ESA claimants around 45% is for psychiatric illness. And he's asking what's been done to get that figure down. 45% for ESA.
Yeah. Can I come in on that, that point, Stephen? There has been a dramatic decrease in the investment into our mental health services since the beginning of the recession, and we need to address that. The Northern Ireland Assembly needs to address a lot of these issues. The help isn't there for people. The other point I would make is our Assembly has the power to oblige employers to make reasonable adjustments to allow people to access the workplace. who have disabilities, etc., if they were to take a proactive approach to actually provide opportunities, if they provide a proper health service, we would overcome some of these issues.
Okay, Robert, the taxi driver. Morning, Robert. Go ahead.
Good morning, Stephen. I find Ben very, very insulting. They attack the most vulnerable people in society. He would be better suited getting on about the billionaires and the millionaires, salting money all around the world and tax havens. And by the way, Ben...
The key question, to be fair to Ben, hold on. The key question, to be fair to Ben, is why is there an increasing number of people in Northern Ireland requiring DLA? Why has it gone up 25% in 5 years? Why are the figures significantly higher?
No, excuse me, let me finish. Thank you. Has Ben not got a brain in his head? Medical practitioners have declared them people unfit to work. He's not a medical practitioner. And by the way, Ben, I'm 61 years of age. I've never been on the sick just in case it runs through your brainwaves. I'm presently working as we speak. I'm a taxi driver. But I'll tell you what you're demonizing the most vulnerable people in society. Get your act together and get on about the millionaires and the billionaires. Salting billions right across this world.
Can I come back on that?
Couldn't agree more.
Go on, Ben.
It is the exact opposite to say that this is an attack on the most vulnerable people. It is the most vulnerable people that we should be targeting this money at. If a smaller percentage of the people were getting DLA, there would be more money for the most seriously disabled. Nobody is saying...
How many legs do you need to have?
Hold on, let him finish. Hold on.
Nobody is saying that seriously disabled people should not be getting DLA. I'm saying that seriously disabled people should be getting more DLA. Do you know what this is costing Northern Ireland every year? £1 billion. £1,000 million. I worked that out.
What is serious?
No, excuse me. You work this out, friend. You address the billionaires. You're trying to cut around a corner. You're insulting the most vulnerable people.
Robert, thank you. Bill, next. Morning, Bill.
Good morning, Stephen.
Go ahead,
good morning,
Bill.
Ben. I think I have part of the answer for Ben, but I'll let him make the decision. According to government figures, now not my figures, government figures, there are 75,000 people waiting on rheumatology. That's new hips, new knees, new elbows, new shoulders. That's 75,000 people. There's also a waiting list for heart, triple bypasses. There's also a waiting list for people with mental problems. Now, as those lists get longer, more people will be able to claim the disability living allowance because they're having to wait and they're told to rest and they're on medication. So there's how the lists are beginning to get bigger. They can't get into hospital to get fixed. And also, I wouldn't be at all surprised that the government decides to move the goalpost and turn around and say, you're not disabled enough to qualify for this. So maybe that goes away to answer Ben's question about the list is getting bigger. You can't get in the hospital.
Ben?
Well, this is my point about the £1 billion a year that is spent on this. This is £1 billion. I think the figure could be halved. I honestly do. I think it could easily be halved. That's £500 million that could be spent on. There will be people listening to this sitting on the M2 coming up to the York Street Junction that apparently we can't afford. It will only cost a fraction of the money that could be saved. There's money that could go into cancer drugs. There's good money
Stephen,
that could
can
go
I make, into... Can I make a point here?
Yes, Pat.
Can I make a point? Ben is avoiding the real subject here. What Ben has said is the more severely disabled should be getting this money. Well, let's be honest. If you're on DLA... you are in bad shape to begin with. Your last caller made a very good point. If there was money put into the health service, it would cut down on DLA because people wouldn't be sitting waiting for hip operations. If there was money put into mental health, people wouldn't be waiting on DLA because they would be back out and able to work. If we weren't living in a society that is the highest level of post-traumatic stress disorder in the whole of Europe, then we would be in a different situation. Ben is not addressing any of the real issues here. And what he is doing is...
Well, I think actually, to be fair to him, he's very much addressing the real issue, isn't he?
No, well, he's not really. What he's doing is falling back into the trap of the infantile blaming the people on DLA and implying...
There is legitimate, to be fair to him. It is a legitimate question in the public interest to ask why we are 20-odd% up in the last 5 years.
It's absolutely legitimate, Stephen.
Right, well, stop calling him infantile then.
Surely at this point in this debate that's been going on for years, we should be aiming at a slightly higher level than just saying some people are more...
Robert in Belfast. Morning, Robert.
I know nothing about it, but
morning,
I...
Stephen, I would say his comments are absolutely outrageous. I mean, a previous gentleman addressed the issue there by putting his finger on it exactly, the waiting lists in the hospitals. But let us consider further than that. Let's consider the whole trouble situation here going back 70 or 80 years. I mean, the dissension, divided society, 50 years of unionist misrule, 40 years civil war, military occupation, one half of society demonized, cordoned off, incarcerated. You call it what you like. But if it costs £1 million, it has to be laid at the feet of the British government. This society is like this.
So what's outrageous what Ben said? What's outrageous about it?
It's outrageous.
What is outrageous about it?
The cost. If it costs £2 billion, the people in this society are sick. Like, everybody's a victim. And I mean that literally. People pick victims out. If you've got a broken leg, you get shot in the arm. I pick everybody, every single person in this society. Doesn't matter what religion you are, whether you're a paramilitary or civilian doing nothing. You suffered one way or another. And that's not our fault. That's the fault of the British government, and they should be made to pay for it. And if it takes £10 billion to put it back in this society, they're only putting a fraction back in what they drained out of the Irish people.
Ben?
The British government is paying billions and billions of pounds. To
well, then they need to pay more because it's...
Let him reply to you, Robert.
Very generous towards
let
it,
him
but
reply
I want,
to you.
I want to come back on this point about the Troubles. As I said earlier, 4,000 people being killed is a tragedy and a disaster, and thousands of people injured and traumatised. Now, let's push the figure way out and say that maybe as a result of that, 40,000 people today, 40 years after the worst of the Troubles, still should be on TLA for that reason. It still doesn't explain these figures. And here's another statistic. This is a very simple one. The number of people who were killed in car crashes in Northern Ireland between 1968 and 1998, I don't have the figure at my fingertips, but I've looked this up before. It's about 7,000. It's over 7,000 compared to 3,700 who were killed in the Troubles. So if it is the case that Northern Ireland is suffering, that the post-Troubles explains the level of people on DLA, then it must also be the case that across Britain and Ireland, which have car deaths and have similar levels of car deaths and have had for decades, they would have all these people who are traumatised by road accidents. This cannot explain why the figure in Northern Ireland is so high.
You're talking nonsense. You're That's talking absolute nonsense. Complete nonsense. Let me tell you why. I'm 76. Right, I'm an ex-British soldier, Catholic. I was never in any organisation. I never did anything wrong. I was harassed by the military. I was harassed by the priests, the police. I had 2 murder attacks on me. Scattered my family, went abroad to work. Couldn't get work because the guys who were in the positions in the countries I was in one main country, I couldn't get work because I was an Irishman. You know, so don't be telling me. Don't be giving me that people suffer because of accidents. We had serious problems in this society. And people like you who would minimise it and seek to point the finger, whatever it costs is whatever it costs, and you should be ashamed of yourself even to talk like that. You're getting a fat salary, you're sitting up there on your ass and you can condemn everybody. You should do something useful.
Well, Stephen, Ben, you'll want to respond to that, Ben, just finally.
I don't want to hear him.
I don't know what else to say about this. The 12% of the population in Northern Ireland is on disability living allowance. That figure is obviously too high. Even the Labour Party in agrees that in England the figure that is less than half of that is too high. This is not comparing Somerset only with Northern Ireland. It's comparing Somerset and Sunderland with Northern Ireland. There is serious deprivation across much of England as well, and there's certainly serious deprivation in Scotland.
We are way higher. Okay, we're going to leave it there. Patrick and Ben, thank you very much indeed. My goodness, all kicking off over that this morning.